Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon on Faith Radio. And there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Mike.
Hello and welcome to Connecting Faith. I always enjoy the opportunity to get together with you and talk about important issues of the day and provide a biblical perspective. I'm Neil Stavem, and today we're particularly excited to focus on a topic that we don't really address very often and should. And this month, during Clergy and Pastor Appreciation Month, it seemed like this was a great time to visit with a pastor's wife and talk a little bit about how we can appreciate and care for the pastor's wife and family. And also for those that are in women that are in leadership, this is the topic of a new book written by co-written by my guest today, Brandy Wilson, who's married to Pete, who's the senior pastor at Cross Point Church in Nashville, Tennessee. And she is in addition to being a mom and a wife, she is also leading a co-author of Leading and Loving It, Encouragement for Pastors, Wives, and Women in Leadership. And she also leads the daily ins and outs of the Leading and Loving It ministry. And you can find out more about that, leadingandlovingit.com. So, you know, being a woman in ministry, it's a kind of a unique calling, and Brandy has been doing that for a number of years now. And I want to find out, I guess, welcome, first of all, to Connecting Faith. Great to talk with you.
Hey, Neil, it's so great to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm curious to know, do most pastors' wives, you know, want to be out of the spotlight? I mean, did you talk that through before you got married? Did you know Pete was going to be a pastor when you were dating?
Well, when I met my husband, Pete, we were both 19 years old, and we were in college at Western Kentucky University, and he was working part-time as a student pastor at a church, a local church there. So, you know, I really and truly have not known my husband outside of ministry, and I knew, obviously, I'm his biggest fan. I knew he was super gifted, and I knew that I felt like God had placed a special calling on his life. I don't know that I knew, obviously, you know, how that would have blown up and followed us for the last 18 years, or I guess allowed us to be part of the journey for the last 18 years. But I did know that he was in ministry or was going to be in ministry, and I had grown up in a very traditional Baptist church and had a great, you know, Christian foundation and in a Christian home. And I knew that I loved my husband, and I knew that I loved the local church. However, I wasn't able to see that calling in my life personally. So I believe that Pete had been called, and I had my master's in education. So I was teaching full time after we got married and working on just, you know, building my career. And we kind of, in the beginning, we launched a church when we were 21. And we actually launched the church 6 months before we got married. So I actually was fulfilling that pastor's wife role before I was really and truly a wife. And the fact that people even showed up at that church when we were 21 and just engaged is like God was totally in it. But, you know, that was our first experience. And I think at that point I believed that that was Pete's calling and that I was called to be Pete's wife. So I kind of hid from the spotlight. But I think, you know, to the original part of your question, do people want to be noticed? Do they? I think that is so uniquely to how God has created you that some people love, like I have tons of friends who actually co-pastor with their husbands, and I have tons of friends who have their own careers outside of the church. So I really and truly think what makes you a pastor's wife who's fulfilling her calling is for you to live in the unique giftings that God has given you. And I think that sometimes where pastor's wives can get caught up is we look around to what all the other pastor's wives are doing. And I know for me, about 10 years ago, I was like, man, Kay Warren, she's awesome. She's leading this huge AIDS ministry. And Lisa Young in Texas, she's got this great women's ministry going. And and they're speaking and all that kind of stuff. And I thought, if I can't do that, then I can't do anything. So that kind of almost sent me further down into my little rabbit hole of, you know what, my husband's super gifted. All these public pastors' wives are super gifted. And if I'm not gifted like them, then what does that mean for me? And really kind of started a personal journey with myself where I felt like God was saying, Brandy, you might be surprised that you are married to a pastor. I'm not. I knew you were going to be here all along. I knew you were going to be Pete's wife. I knew you were going to be the pastor's wife at Cross Point Church. So you might be in shock, but I'm not. I knew this was coming. And I have given you experiences, and I have given you good times and bad times, and I have led you guys through celebrations, and I've led you through devastations, and I want you to start using the life that I've given you to make an impact for other women like you. And that's kind of when I teamed up with Lori Wilhite, which is the co-author of the book, and we kind of took Leading and Loving It, which was a ministry she started for her church staff wives in Vegas, and we took that from just being a ministry for Central Christian Church to basically the world. We have pastors' wives from all over involved, which has really been, you know, a great way for me to see that God did call me. My calling just might look a little bit different, but that he still wants to use me in a way that he's uniquely created me to make an impact.
You didn't suddenly start taking piano lessons so you could, anything like
no.
that.
No. In fact, we have the saying around Leading and Loving It that the typical pastor's wife is dead, because I think so often when people think of pastor's wives, they're either playing the piano or they're leading children's church or they're coordinating the luncheon for Sunday afternoon, and they're probably wearing a really hideous floral dress with a big collar on it. So we're just like, the typical pastor's wife is dead. We are not called to all fit into a mold. We are called to fit into the mold that God created uniquely for us.
Talk a little bit more about, Brandy Wilson, who's co-author of this wonderful book called Leading and Loving It, Encouragement for Pastors' Wives and Women in Leadership. And we hope by the end of the broadcast today that we'll have provided some great hands-on, tangible ways in which we can encourage our pastors, their spouses and families in maybe just cut them a little slack. But you quote Stephen Furtick's wife just talking about how, you know, just living in the shadow of your husband as the pastor, and it, we can't ride their spiritual coattails. And you've sort of touched on that about, you know, you have gifts as well. But that is kind of a balance, isn't it? You need to be support your husband's vision. You know, right. And obviously you want to be his biggest fan, but how do you sort of balance that out with saying, well, I have to be who I am, too?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, Holly did say that. She has a blog called hollyfurtick.com, and she has lots of great wisdom for pastors' wives and just women, Christian women in general. But she wrote that a couple of years ago, and I just loved it because I do think as pastors' wives, as women who lead organizations or ministries, and you know what? Sometimes just as Christians, if we're in a healthy, thriving church, we want to ride the spiritual coattails of the church. The church is moving. The church is causing life change. And we're so excited to be part of that we forget to dig in and have our own personal relationship with God. And I think we as wives, sometimes that can really happen, is that we, you know, our husband's up there leading. He's teaching. People think he's so, you know, well, they often are so full of wisdom. And we see what is projected from their position. And instead of digging in for ourselves, we just, you know, allow what they're doing to represent our personal walk with Christ. And I do think there is a balance in, and I would, you know, totally tell you that, and Lori, my co-leader, knows this, that, you know, my calling first is to my husband and my kids and even Crosspoint to an extent. And then Leading and Loving It gets to flow out of that because, you know, we all have priorities that we have to line up and we have to keep a healthy balance in those, which I think the word balance, like, I know it's a very, very often used term to talk about pulling these things together, but the term balance often makes me cringe because I don't know that there's ever balance. And I think sometimes we as women especially chase so hard after balance that we're not able to really dig in and do what we're supposed to be doing well because we're chasing that image that doesn't exist, that we can actually balance our lives and all the parts of our lives that we juggle. But I think we do have to kind of search for what that looks like for us as individuals instead of going back to that comparison thing I referenced earlier, you know, I can't look at how Holly does it, Holly Furtick does it for her husband, Stephen, and expect for it to work the same way for Pete and I. Those are, Pete and I figuring out what ministry looks like together is going to be unique to Pete and I. Now, can I look at other couples and take away healthy pieces of that? Absolutely. But I definitely have to make sure that I'm doing what works best for Pete and I as that couple instead of just seeing what other people are doing and copying that.
Talking to Brandi Wilson today about a new book she's co-written with Lori Wilhite called Leading and Loving It, Encouragement for Pastors' Wives and Women in Leadership. And it's a great conversation here during Pastor and Clergy Appreciation Month. And we're going to talk about, you know, some of the challenges that the pastors' wives and families face. You know, can the pastors and the wives have close friendships? We'll talk about that. What about when your kids maybe act more normal than what the church standards think they should, and all those things. We'll get into all that here in just a moment. By the way, we do have a couple of copies of the book to give away. We'd love to just pass it on to you and let you maybe find some ways to better understand the ministry team at your church and how you can be an encouragement to them. You can do that online by connecting with us. It's myfaithradio.com. Then click on the Connecting Faith show page and just fill out the contact information there. We'll do a drawing at the end of the show for a couple of books. And we'll talk more with Brandi Wilson in just a moment here on Connecting Faith. You're listening to Connecting Faith, and we're happy to talk with Brandi Wilson today. Brandi's main priority is being a wife and mom. She's married to Pete Wilson, senior pastor at Cross Point Church, Nashville, Tennessee, and mom to three boys. And so that right away kind of throws the whole balance thing out the window. And she co-leads a ministry called Leading and Loving It, and it's co-written the book with Lori Wilhite by that same title. And Brandi, so let's talk about the issue of close friendships. Is that just kind of a Western idea that somehow that, you know, pastors and wives, pastor and wife can't have close friendship? What are some guidelines?
Yeah, you know what? It is probably the number one thing that we hear at Leading and Loving It from pastors' wives, women in ministry, is who do I talk to? Because as women, I think as humans in general, we are created for relationship. As women, we are even heightened in that area of wanting relationship. So we really crave girlfriends. And when your husband's, you know, in leadership at the church, that just opens your family up to probably be looked at a little differently and for things to be analyzed differently than they would be with another family. So, you know, I think friendships are vital, and I think that we are so lucky to live in, you know, 2014 where we have so much technology and that friendship can happen across the country. My co-author Lori is one of my closest friends, and she lives in Vegas. But, you know, free cell-to-cell calling, we talk every other day, and we talk for long periods of time, which I won't reveal so my husband can hear how much time I spend on the phone. But, you know, you can Skype, all kinds of text messaging, that instant communication that can happen across the country that we haven't had the opportunity to access in the past. So there are lots of options out there that are outside of your smaller church community. Now, when you're talking about these friendships, one of the things I feel super strongly about is that we have to learn the difference between being authentic and transparent. And I think that was one of the biggest hurdles for me in ministry is that I truly love people. I'm highly relational. I'm more of an introvert, but I'm highly relational. So I enjoy time with people. And I was laughing at myself because when we had our Cross Point 10-year anniversary service a couple years ago, we had a huge picnic with the whole church afterwards, so thousands of people there. And I'm bebopping around and, you know, I'm talking to all these people and I'm like, oh, I'd love to have coffee with you. Oh, I'd love to have lunch with you. Oh, I'd love to get together and chat. And I truly want to, but by the end of that picnic, I had agreed to like 275 coffees, which there's no way I can make happen. So for me, I would feel like such a fake because I wanted to spend time with these people, but there's absolutely not enough hours in the day to be able to fit that in. So I had to really come up with a rule for myself personally where I have to define the difference between being authentic and transparent. And being authentic means I'm called to be Brandi wherever I go. I'm called to be Brandy if I'm volunteering at my kid's school. I'm called to be Brandy if I'm shopping at Target. I'm called to be Brandy when I'm talking to volunteers on Sunday morning. I'm called to be Brandy when I'm at a restaurant ordering my food and interacting with a waiter or waitress. Now, the difference being I'm not called to be transparent with everyone that I come into contact with. I feel like God is going to give me a couple of people in my life, and those people love me for who I am. They love me when I make mistakes, and they love me when I'm, you know, riding high on top of a mountain. They're the people who are going to say the hard things to me that I need to hear. They're the people who are going to celebrate with me and really mean it. But God's going to give me a small, small group of people. For me, it's like three or four who I'm called to be transparent with. So when I'm bebopping around this picnic and I'm telling everybody I'd really like to spend time with them, that's authentic. I really want to be able to do that. Now, I'm not going to be able to sit down with all of them and pour my heart out to them and, you know, share our struggles and what we're facing and tough decisions. That's saved for more of those three or four people that God has uniquely given me to have a relationship that helps challenge me and grow me as the woman that he wants me to be.
And responsibility, I guess probably all of us, if we want to have friends, we need to be friends. So do you need to seek people out? Because sometimes in a relationship, big church, you know, a lead pastor's wife, well, there's sort of a status if somebody's connected to Brandy Wilson, you know.
Right. Which, man, that is tough. It's so funny. My husband says all the time, he's like, if normal people have healthy friendships, then we cheer them on. We're happy for them. When pastors have friendships, it's often considered a clique, which, you know, feels so much like high school. But that is often the truth that you speak of, that lots of times there is a stigma attached to, you know, sometimes often good and sometimes bad to being attached to senior leadership. And, you know, probably being a friend with me does come at a price for some people. But, you know, I think that's where I think we want friendship to be as easy as it was when we were kids and you see somebody in the playground and you want to go swing. Yeah, let's go swing. And then all of a sudden you're friends. You know, my kids come home all the time and they're like, my best friend George said da 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 da. And then the next day, my best friend Jason said, and I'm like, wait, what are you talking about? So we want it to be as easy as it was when we were kids, and it's just not. Now, that's not to say it's impossible, but you know what? We're discussing things as adults that we weren't discussing when we were kids. So it just comes with added responsibility. And I think when you're looking for friendships, that's just something you have to take slow, and that's something that you have to really pray about. I think I went a long time. Lori Wilhite was my first friend who was actually a pastor's wife that didn't serve on our staff. So I realized when she and I connected, which was via Twitter of all randomness, that when she and I connected and we started just chatting, I actually randomly DM'd her on Twitter, which is all these social networking terms. But we had a situation going on at Crosspoint, and I've been reading her blog for a little while, and I thought, gosh, as the Pete's wife, I'm the one who needs to speak into this situation, but I'm not exactly sure how to handle it. So I just said, could we chat about this? And she gave me her cell phone number, and we hooked up and talked on the phone, and that just led to multiple conversations and Pete and I going out to look at how they do multi-site in Vegas and a friendship growing out of that. And as that friendship grew, I realized, you know what, I have never, ever had another friend who was a pastor's wife. So I technically, now that didn't serve under my husband, I had lots of friends on our staff that were also pastor's wives, but, you know, they were answering to my husband, so sure, that makes it a little bit different. But that was the first time I'd had a friend who was a pastor's wife and had some idea of what my life looked like behind the scenes. So I think sometimes in friendship, the most important thing is not what we say, but what we don't have to say, because we kind of know what's going on behind the scenes with someone else.
Well, let's move to talk about kids. And, of course, no one really likes the word PK anymore, I guess. But, you know, you've got three boys, and my guess is that they probably act normal. And you know, that maybe bothers some people in the church, or there's probably people listening right now who are pastors' wives and go, man, my kids are taking the brunt of the criticism that should come to me or to my husband. So,
Yeah. It's so funny. I was just in Target, I promise you, 2 weeks ago with all three of my kids on a Sunday afternoon, which never happens. But we had ran some quick errands, and we went to a Target that wasn't on our typical side of town, a side of town that I feel like I don't know anybody. And we're shopping for a lacrosse bag for my son's gear. And I have all three of them, and we'd been in the store about 20 minutes, and that's about all three boys can take shopping. You know, hands are all over one another, pushing and shoving and stealing their gum or whatever it is. And I, like, in a 60-second period, in a whisper voice, reamed out all three of them in the luggage aisle, like, sure. No, you cannot walk up to the bathroom by yourself because your cell phone's dead, and I don't want you to be away from me for that long. No, you may not have the $45 bag to carry your gear. Like, this whole, I hadn't done anything wrong, but I wasn't using my nice, gentle voice that I use when I'm at church. And I turned to walk out of that aisle, and this lady says, "Hey, are you Brandy Wilson?" And I said, "I am." And she said, this is my downfall, Neil. She said, "I thought these were Pastor Pete's kids." Uh-oh. So no one recognizes me. They recognize my kids. And I'm like, dang it, all my targets now I'm going to run into people. But she was wonderful, and she was great. And I fessed up and said, "Did you just hear me fussing at my kids on this end of the aisle?" And she was giggling, and she said, "I'm just glad to know you're normal." So I think people are just relieved to find out we're normal and we have the same struggles, and my kids are going to push and shove and target just like anyone else's. But I also cringe at the term PK. I'll be honest, there's just something about it. I think the stigma that comes with people have already judged my kids based on that title, and they don't allow the kids to define themselves, makes life kind of hard, because these kids are just typical kids, and they're going through the same battles and struggles that every other, you know, pre-teenager, teenager is. And I think for Pete and I, what we've always said is, you know what, our goal is not to raise pastor's kids. Our goal is to raise kids that love Christ. And that's what your goal is you're raising kids. Everybody out there who's raising kids that with a belief in God, is you are really wanting to raise kids who love Christ. And I don't care if they're an accountant's kid or an attorney's kid or a dentist's kid or a truck driver's kid. We're trying to raise kids who love Christ. And our goal for our children is the same as the goal that you have for your kids.
Do you find yourself getting protected? Maybe it's not, you know, maybe that was years ago, and maybe it's a smaller church. But, I mean, you know, if your kids are getting maybe some criticism that was meant for, you know, for dad, that's right. You, kind of mama bear comes out a little bit, huh?
Totally. I mean, yeah, it totally does. You know, I've had a situation with, you know, a volunteer that I've walked in on before who was being a little hard on my kid. And honestly, my kid was being annoying. He had reached a point where, because I was serving, he was in class for three services. And this was the third, which I don't typically do, no judgment, I don't typically do, but I had to that week. And this was his third service. He was tired of being in that class. He had heard the same stinking lesson three times. So he's done, and I get done early and go to pick him up, and as I turn the corner, I hear her talking real harshly to him. And that was really tough, because I wanted to go straight to our children's pastor and say, you have somebody up there talking mean to my child, and something needs to be done about that. But, you know, I didn't. I had a talk with my son when I got in the car, and I knew that I had set him up for that. That wasn't his fault. I was the one who had set him up for that. So if I'm going to have to work three services again, I'm going to work out a different situation for him, whether I hire a setter to help me out or I ask a friend, can he come and play at your house for 2 hours? But I'm going to figure out what I can do on my end to set him up for success. Because you know what? That he is too young for that to be his responsibility.
Sure. We're going to talk more in just a moment with Brandy Wilson. Brandy's married to Pete, who's a senior pastor at Cross Point Church in Nashville, Tennessee. They're a church planted in 2002. It's a multi-site church, and she's co-authored the book Leading and Loving It. And in fact, she has a ministry by the same title, Leading and Loving It. This is encouragement for pastors' wives and all women in leadership. And we're going to talk more about that and get into some ways maybe that we can particularly be encouraging to our pastors and their families especially. We'll get to all that and more as we continue here on Connecting Faith. Welcome back to Connecting Faith. Glad to have you listening. I'm Neil Stavem, and happy to be talking today with Brandi Wilson, who is co-authored along with Lori Wilhite, a wonderful resource called Leading and Loving It, Encouragement for Pastors, Wives, and Women in Leadership. By the way, we've got a couple of copies of the book to give away and be happy to do that. You want to drop us a note, we'll do it via email today. You go to myfaithradio.com and then click on the Connecting Faith show page, and you can just fill out the contact information there, and we'll do a drawing at the end of the hour. And it'll be a great resource for you. You can tell Lori and Brandi are good friends and get along, and they share honestly and openly about some of the challenges. We're talking a little bit about, you know, pastors and wives having close friendships, about, you know, dealing with your kids. Criticism is sort of part of the territory. You started the church with your husband even before you got married, and it's grown to a multi-site. No church is without the sharp-tongued critic. What advice would you give to, maybe to church attenders about how we end up getting so bothered by things that maybe ultimately don't really matter?
Right. You know, I think just remembering that pastors and their families are people, and those people make mistakes. Leadership makes mistakes. Elders and deacons make mistakes. No one's perfect. You're dealing with people, and people aren't perfect. And unfortunately, sometimes hurt occurs during that, and feelings are, mistreated and that kind of stuff. But it is, criticism is a tough thing, and I know when it has hit our family, it's something that we've definitely had to work through. And I think, criticism doesn't get too far with us, because usually when someone is given criticism is not given out of love. I think there's a big difference between critics and critiques, and critics are there to, tear us down, and not just us, but tear people down in general, and tear down the church or tear down the organization they're attacking, and the news they're trying to deliver and the statements they're trying to make are not done in love, to where I know that when someone comes to us with something that's hard to say and that is delivered in love, now it is a critique. It's telling us something that needs to change or something that we had done wrong. That's so much easier for someone to receive when they know that that news is being given in a loving way and out of a relationship, rather than just somebody who happens to have a voice because they have a computer and choose to share ugly opinions out there on social networking or blogs or whatever it is. Criticism is tough. My rule with criticism is, I can't control the criticism, but I can control how much drama I add to it. So I try not to respond. I usually have those couple of people that I'm transparent with, and those will be the people that I let hash it out with me and speak the truth of what I should be hearing and what I shouldn't be hearing, and comfort me when I'm hurt and that kind of stuff. But, I think we have to remember that criticism is going to happen. It's just without fail. It's going to happen. But you have to choose how much drama you add to that criticism.
Brandi, when you and Pete first married and just started a church, so it was small. Now it's, multi-site. How has maybe your life and role, and maybe as a pastor's wife anyway, changed over those, 10, 12, 15 years?
Yeah. Well, as I mentioned, when we planted our first church in Kentucky, I worked outside the home, and really and truly kind of thought that that would be my plan. I thought I'd just teach until I'd put in my 22 years or whatever and retire from that. And I never really planned on staying at home or running a ministry for pastors' wives. That's all kind of been a surprise to me. I think I didn't realize the amount of time that it would take for me to help on the backside. I remember when we moved to Nashville and started Crosspoint about 12 years ago, just thinking, oh, I've already planted a church, and I know how much work this is going to take, and I feel like God's calling us to it, so we're going to do it, so we're going to be obedient, but, man, we're not doing it with a smile on our face. Just knowing that, I think the growth of the church has really required more time from my husband. So when I started staying at home 12 years ago and thought that that was just a fluke because I wanted to be with Jed, it's really been great to help us figure out how to manage things at home and with the kids. Pete was growing the church and I was growing the family because we had 3 kids in 5 years. And I think what we had to watch out for in that season is that because you know, I say he was growing the church and I was growing the family. We started living parallel lives. So we're both moving forward. We're moving forward side by side, but we're sure not moving forward together. So we had to really come to a point about 8 or 9 years ago where we were like, hey, we love this church that God has called us to, but we love our family more. So let's make some changes and figure out how can we do both the church thing and the family thing really well and be able to draw some boundaries and set some healthy expectations for what we thought time management looked like between the church and the family, the family obviously coming first. And that was probably the biggest turning point for us to be able to think, we love our family and we're enjoying getting to do the church, to be able to put them in that order and share that like-mindedness of what it took to, you know, grow a healthy church. We never, it's so funny, you know, lots of opinions are given of big churches, and Pete and I never set out to have a huge church. We just set out to have a healthy church, you know. We just set out to really have biblical values and to help people come into an individual relationship with Christ. And, you know, it's kind of like my kids. My kids are healthy. They're growing. I can't stop them from growing when they're healthy. And they're, you know, we didn't set out to have a big church. It's just been part of it. But we're very, very honored that God allowed us to be part of his journey that we call Crosspoint.
I'm sure that, you know, in the ministry, Leading and Loving It, that you have opportunity to talk to maybe a lot of other women leaders in ministry or pastors' wives who maybe have a smile on their face, you know, but they're not loving it. And of course, we know right. that I mean, pastoral discouragement is, if the statistics are true, I mean, there's a lot of pastors, you know, bailing and lots of challenges. So, what, do you have some encouragement for the, maybe the wife, especially whose, you know, husband feels like that parallel track thing going on?
Yeah. You know what? That's probably the statistic that fires me up more than anything, is that the number one reason a pastor leaves his church is because his wife is unhappy. So for us at Leading and Loving It, when we think, how can we make the biggest impact for Christ, it is, you know what? If you have a healthy wife, that bleeds over to help create a healthy marriage, which bleeds over into a healthy congregation, which is ultimately God's church. You know, what can we do to help make the church a healthy place? And, you know, for wives, I think if you're really unhappy, it's okay to get help. I feel like people, there's such a stigma attached to counseling, and there's such a stigma attached to counseling when you're the pastor's wife. And what if I show up for the counseling and there's somebody from our church sitting in the lobby? And, you know, we've all done it. But I think you can't not get help. You know, you can't live in isolation. Isolation is going to breed that sin. You've got to find people to talk to. We have lots of opportunities for that at Leading and Loving It. We do Connect Live groups, which are small groups that happen on Google Plus, just like the small groups that you guys are leading in your churches. We have those groups created for pastors' wives where they get together once or twice a month. And some of these groups have been together for 3 and 4 years. And some of these groups have people in them who used to be a pastor's wife, but because of some kind of situation, they've had to transition out of ministry for a time. But they've stayed with that group, and that group's loved them through it and helped them heal through it. So, you know, I think you have to find people to talk to, because often when you're unhappy, you go into isolation, and isolation is just going to breed unhappiness, and it gives sin a place to hide. And I think you have to get help. I think, you know, you go to the next town for counseling, or there are lots of resources out there for Christian counseling via the phone, where you can call in and have an hour session with a counselor. But I think you have to realize there's not a stigma. Well, there should not be a stigma attached to getting good, healthy counseling and helping you get through a tough situation.
You know, we're talking about sin having a place to hide. I was thinking, you know, it, other statistics suggest that, you know, pastors, you know, viewing porn about the same rate as, you know, general Christian population. Do you have some counsel for pastors' wives to maybe help their husbands guard their hearts and just, you know, really, you know, put a hedge of protection around their family? I mean, it's not their job to be the protector necessarily, but they really play a key role.
Totally. You know, there's a ministry we have with friends of ours called Refine Us, and it is ran by Justin and Tricia Davis. And Justin was on staff. They had planted a church and had a moral failure, and they ended up having to give up the church. And that was about 9 years ago. And Pete was part of Justin's restoration plan. And Pete and I were friends with Trish and Justin through, well, probably for the last 15 years. So we saw them through all of it. And they run a really great ministry about marriage that focuses on redemption and forgiveness and helping people heal, which is an awesome resource. It's refineus.org. They have a book out called Beyond Ordinary. I think you also, as wives, you have to pray for your husbands. And I know that sounds cliche, but, you know, I often, I think I'm kind of, I try not to think about the load that my husband carries on his shoulders because, you know, leading a church is such a, can be such a heavy weight with decisions and you know, just trying to create unique services and all the things that come with leading a church. And I think I have to constantly be praying for him that, you know, God is with him, that he's seeking God. He has to do that on his own, but I can definitely be his biggest prayer warrior in his spiritual walk. So I think you definitely have to pray for him. And I think looking for those resources is great, too. Justin, actually, you mentioned porn. That was one of Justin's big struggles that he talks about and he's admitted to. He actually preached a sermon on it at Cross Point for us a couple of weeks ago. But, yeah, that is a huge, staggering statistic of, you know, pastors who are using porn and looking at porn that obviously, you know, is a hidden sin that, that he can help bring to light.
Yeah. We're talking about leading and loving it, some encouragement for pastors, wives, and women in leadership. And so glad to spend some time with Brandy Wilson today, who's married to Pete, who's the senior pastor of Cross Point Church in Nashville, Tennessee. It's a multi-site church planted back in 2002, and Brandy co-leads the daily ins and outs of leading and loving it. You can find out more about that great resource at leadingandlovingit.com. And in a moment, we're going to talk a little bit more about ways that we can encourage our pastors and their wives. In fact, we've got a drawing going on this month for a retreat for pastors and their spouses, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But I want to get Brandy's perspective on what means the most to her when they get encouragement from their from those that attend their church. So more on that in just a moment here as we continue on Connecting Faith. Glad to have you listening to Connecting Faith today and appreciate the time that we've had with Brandy Wilson, who is, serves as the, well, she serves as mom and a wife and also leads the Leading and Loving It. It's a ministry her and Lori Wilhite have begun, and they co-wrote a book called Leading and Loving It, Encouragement for Pastors, Wives, and Women in Leadership. And we've not talked necessarily a lot about maybe women in other leadership positions. And are there some uniquenesses if you're not a pastor's wife, but you're maybe in a, you know, a ministry in a leadership role?
Oh, totally. I mean, I think there are uniquenesses. It's so funny. When Lori and I started the book, we spent one day on the phone for like an hour and a half, and we're like, what are all the terms that can be used for, like, this book is not just for pastor's wives. This book can be used if you're a Sunday school teacher and you're leading kids. Like, we want this book to be able to reach women across the board because we serve so many different roles and there are unique challenges that we all face. And it's so funny, some of my staff, female staff at Cross Point, they came to our retreat, Leading and Loving It retreat last year. And I think in their heads, they truly thought, now, this says pastors, wives, and women in ministry, but it's just going to really be for pastors' wives. But we're going to go to support Brandy. And they ended up there, and they were like, oh, my gosh, this stuff relates to me. Like, I'm on a church staff, and when I'm communicating with people, those people have different expectations because I serve on a church staff. Or my volunteers look at me differently because I'm the person on staff helping make these assignments. So, yeah, I think there are unique struggles just in the, you know, people have different expectations for the way you communicate, what your responses should be, how quickly you should respond, all of that kind of stuff that come when you're in leadership of the church.
Yeah. What's the best thing about the role that you're in, Brandy? And, I mean, it's probably, you know, changed some over the years. And that maybe on the other side, then what's your least favorite aspect about being Mrs. Pete Wilson?
Oh, people recognizing my kids in Target when I'm about to pedal.
Sure, okay. Yeah, there is that.
So funny. You know, I, obviously, having a front row seat to life change is the best part of being a pastor's wife. I get to celebrate, you know, every single one of those baptisms and every time someone comes to know Christ as a relationship and just hearing ministry stories where, you know, our congregation steps out in a loving way to love on somebody going through a tough situation. Those are huge. I mean, I honestly, just being part of God's church is the best part of it. I'm such a team player. I'm just wired to function best as part of a team. That's why my husband's the lead pastor. But I love just like being part of a team and being able to support people. And you know, people will say, Brandy, what's your role at Crosspoint? And I'm like, you know what I do? I give really good hugs, and I check on people and try to remember their names. And that's, you know, I don't have a designated title that comes with a to-do list that has to be accomplished. I just like to be engaged with people and to be there on Sunday mornings giving them a hug and check in and seeing how their aunt's doing that was in the hospital or how their son's doing that was struggling with his math grade. So I really and truly just love the process of being involved with people is the best part.
I was just going to say, we'll get to the worst part because that, you know, makes great radio. No, I'm not sure. Anyway, but, you know, is it okay to, you know, just to be that person that gives hugs and remembers names and checks on family? I'm thinking maybe there's some pastor's wives listen now and just feel like there's some pressure. There's, you know, expectations that they just don't feel like they're living up to.
Yeah. You know what's so funny is I think I can do that now where I couldn't. I mean, I did that early on and a lot more just because we didn't have the manpower. You know, we have, you know, a lot more staff now than when we started and a lot more volunteers than when we started that obviously give me the gift of freedom to be able to be the hugger on Sunday mornings. And I couldn't do that. So I know that there are ladies out there who might be from smaller churches, and they're like, that must be nice to be friendly because you know what I'm doing? Coordinating all of my volunteers who didn't show up on a Sunday morning in children's church. So, you know, I do think that that struggle is different based on what size your church is, how much staff you have. And I think you hit on what I was going to say the worst part of being the senior pastor's wife is are the expectations, what people expect of me. And I think that's one of the reasons I struggled for so long and I just floundered is because when I looked at Pete, I thought, he has the gift of leadership. He should be doing this. I don't have the gift of leadership. So if I can't lead, then I guess I can't do anything. So I think those expectations that other people put on us is of what they expect us to do. They expect you to host all the baby showers and host all the, you know, essential oils parties and all of that kind of stuff that you just don't have time for. But then also the expectations you put on yourself. Both of those are equally as detrimental when you are in that leadership position.
So, best and worst part, what does encourage you and your husband, or maybe, you know, speaking for all the ministry staff there? I mean, we've got this drawing going on this month here during Clergy Appreciation Month, thanks to Sunscapes Retreat. So it's a ministry retreat center, and so we're giving away a retreat for a couple for a week just to renew and refresh. But what, you know, not everybody can, you know, provide that for their pastor. What things are meaningful to you and to Pete in terms of encouragement?
Yeah, you know, I love when people tell us that they're praying for us, which is such a simple thing, and anyone can do it. It's not based on monetary or time or whatever. Anybody is capable of sending up a prayer for your pastor and his family. It's just that acknowledgement of, you know what, we know that you guys carry a heavy weight, and we know that that can be tough at times, so we're going to pray for you and help, you know, carry you through that is awesome. And I think the other thing is something that I feel like is just my kind of personal mantra through being a pastor's wife, but, you know, allowing them to be who they are, uniquely how they are, not to heap some kind of expectation on them of, oh, we need you to do this and this and this and this. I have a friend who just relocated from a church in Kentucky to a church in Indiana, and she'd kind of worn a lot of hats at that church in Kentucky. And when she got to the church in Indiana, her husband said, you know what? For the last 5 years, you have served really, really hard at our last church. I want you to take a few months, and I just want you to settle in. It's been a transition of a move, a transition for our kids changing schools, transition for a job. I want you to just take some time and help oversee the transition and not jump in and start doing anything at church. And, you know, at first she was lost. She spent the first few weeks thinking, what do I do? I've always, been overseeing stuff, and at this point I'm not overseeing anything in the church. So what does this mean? And she said she went in to have lunch with her husband one day, and she was talking to the church secretary, and she felt like she needed to make the excuse of, oh, I haven't picked up and started leading anything yet. And when she said that to the church secretary said, that's what we love about you. We love that you're just being who you are, that you haven't hopped in and felt like there was something you had to do, but you just hopped in and started learning who we are and getting to know us and getting your family settled, we love that you are being uniquely who you are rather than jumping into what you think we want you to be. And how that was just such a refresher for her to hear that, you know what, their expectation for me is to be myself, not to hop in and just fill an empty slot. There are times you definitely have to do that. But just to allow your pastor and pastor's wife to uniquely be themselves.
You know, you mentioned relocation. Transition is, for many pastors and their families, that's a pretty common thing. And that brings its own set of challenges. What do you have some advice for those that are, you know, dealing with maybe way too frequent relocations?
Yeah, you know, it's so funny when we sit down to write the transitions chapter of the book, you know, Lori and I, we were thinking criticism and burnout, those are going to be the longest, depression, those are going to be the longest chapters. And then we started writing the transitions chapter and we're like, oh my goodness, there's so many transitions that you can go through all at one time. You know, you go through the transition of different season of life, you know, having to take care of your parents, is having to take care of small children, just all kinds of different seasons and transitions that you face in ministry. And I think we have a lot of great tips in the transition chapter about leaving well when you're leaving a church, because I think that's super important. Lots of times when you're leaving and it might not be the best situation, just to be able to leave with your head held high and take the higher road and make sure you're leaving well. It's super important. But I think the most important thing that we discovered through that whole long chapter we thought would never end is that the time you have to give yourself to adjust to a transition is often about 2 years. And that seems like a really long time. And I think when people feel like God's calling them to something and we're supposed to be here and this is where he wants us, that once you get the move part over, which you think is the hardest part, packing up your house, relocating, you know, setting up all the new bills that go with your home, getting your kids in new schools, that once you get the, you know, day-to-day technical stuff out of the way, then, oh, you're there, you can exhale, it feels like home, and it often doesn't. Whether that's a new position or a new house or a new season of life, that it often takes about 2 years for people to settle in and to really feel like, oh, this is home, oh, this is my role. So to be able to give yourself time through that transition to mourn and grieve whatever you've left, even if you know that God's calling you away from it, there's still a grief attached to that. And then to settle in to be able to enjoy the new place that you're calling home.
I was just thinking, you know, I don't know if those statistics are still true, but I've heard, I mean, at one point it was what the average pastor moving about every 3.5 years. You barely get settled in to really start ministry before you're uprooting again.
Right, yeah, right. Yeah. I know I feel we've been in Nashville for 13 years now, and I love the, you know, my husband's grandfather was a pastor in Ohio, and one of the things he loved about watching his grandfather, he was a pastor in a Nazarene church, is his grandfather would often do weddings of the children that he had actually visited in the hospital when they were born. So Pete has always had a heart for longevity of ministry and being able to stay in a community and truly do life with those people. So he had a great example of that in his grandfather.
Yeah. And other than the, you know, the Target store and lacrosse bags, I mean, you love Nashville,
yes,
right?
So, yeah. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Say a word about, you know, someone that might be just kind of facing some burnout right now and, you know, encouragement to pastors, wives, women in ministry that are listening and just happen to maybe stumble in the program. What can you say to them today?
Yeah, you know, I think we've talked so much about friendships and relationships and having people around you. And I think that, you know, when you're facing that burnout, those friendships are definitely important. But I think ultimately we have to remember that God is the one who has called us to this, and God will not leave us, nor will he forsake us. So you are not alone. Even when you feel like you are at your loneliest, you still have God.
Say a word about what's available on the website at leadingandlovingit.com.
We have the Connect Live groups I hit on. We do a retreat, face-to-face retreat once a year. This year it's going to be in Henderson, Nevada, out at Lori's Church Central Christian. And that's a really great time for people to come together face-to-face. It's often the only time we see each other face-to-face. We do a Just One virtual conference, which will roll out in January, February-ish of this year. It's going to be driven through email. We have a blog that happens a couple of times a week. You can purchase the book there. We have a section for marriages that really focuses on ministry marriages and give lots of helpful tips on how to manage marriage in the midst of ministry. We have Connect Local, which are groups that actually meet in locations that we have going at right now in San Antonio, and we have one in San Francisco, and we have one in Franklin, Tennessee, where pastors' wives come together about once a month. So those are a few of the things we have.
And, you know, people could start one in their area, right?
Absolutely. We would love that.
Get some resources and get plugged in and become an encouragement to your pastor and their family and the whole ministry team. Brandi Wilson joining us today, wife of Pete, is a senior pastor at Cross Point Church in Nashville. And she's passionate about helping pastors, wives, and women in ministry build community and also co-leader living and loving it. Yeah, leading and loving it, sorry. And although there's living it too, I guess.
Brandi, exactly.
Glad to have you with us today. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Neil. Have a great day.
And a quick reminder, we've got a couple of copies of Leading and Loving It to give away. We'll do the drawing online here in just a few minutes. So go to our website, myfaithradio.com. Click on the Connecting Faith show page, and you can fill out the contact information there and submit that. And by the way, if you missed part of the interview today, too, you can listen to the podcast. We'll get that put up here after the show. And you can always pass it on to a friend. And thank you for listening to Connecting Faith.